Book of Matthew, please, chapter number 2. Book of Matthew, chapter number 2. I'm going to start in verse number 1, down to verse 11 this morning. Book of Matthew, chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for the tremendous privilege that we have to stand in this pulpit today, to be a part of this congregation. And, oh God, you are the honored guest. You're the one that we come. You're the reason. We also come realizing that we are very needy. Needy of your speaking to our hearts. Lord, realizing that in and of ourselves we are so undone, and how we need you to do a work in our lives. Lord, whether we're saved or lost, we need you today. We need you to the utmost. We pray you might bless and work in these moments. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. When the wise men came to see Jesus, it had been nearly 2 years since his birth. We find from our text that they didn't come to the manger. They came to a house where he is now staying at. Oftentimes, you and I, we do some things. We don't know exactly why we do them. But the wise men were not at the manger. The scene we see oftentimes is not completely correct. But they did come. They did come to visit him. They are described as wise men from the east. Some look at them and call them kings. And sometimes those who were very wise were looked at that way. And they were from the east. That's interesting because we find that many years previous to that, the Israelites were taken captive. They were taken to these countries. Particularly, we find that they go to Babylon. And we find there under Nebuchadnezzar and others later that these men become, or some of them become, a part of the wise men of the east. And Daniel, we believe, probably the wisest of all, because real wisdom only comes from God. Amen. And so we look and we find that, as history tells us, that there were many wise men down through the years since that particular time. And there comes these moments when they see a star. I've had questions asked about that star. Where was it? What kind of star was it? Was it the North Star? What was it? All I can tell you in my own mind is, as I look at the scriptures, it seemed like it was probably closer to the earth than most stars. And probably something that seemed to move, to direct their path. This I do know, and that is that these wise men followed the light that they had. You know, that's important for us. We may not know everything, and certainly we don't, but it's important we follow what light there is in our life. And so here is this star. They follow it, and they end up worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take special note of that this morning, too, because it says in verse 11, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped who? They worshiped him. It does not say her. Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship. Mary, used of God. Mary, a fine woman, a good woman, but she is not God. Worship does not belong to her. It belongs to Jesus. These were wise men because they were wise enough to know that. We find that their worship also involves something, and that is gifts. We find they brought three particular gifts that are mentioned, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These gifts, I believe, are very picturesque to you and I. The gold will remind us of kingship. For it is kings who seem to gather the most gold, have you noticed? And outlay their thrones and so forth in it. And it reminds us of His kingship. We find the word frankincense, a particular type of incense that I believe speaks of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which is very fragrant. That which is a sweet-smelling odor, if we can use the Old Testament language there. And then we find this word myrrh. Now, this is an interesting substance because it was used primarily in embalming bodies. And it speaks of death. What do we find here? We find the King who came to live a perfect life to what? Die for you and for me. And so here, even in these gifts that are brought, God, I believe, gives us some special thoughts. Interesting, we find the book of Isaiah speaking of the time when Jesus comes again on His second advent, His second coming. We find that it tells us in chapter 60 of the book of Isaiah, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Myrrh is not mentioned because our Savior at this point will never die again. He offered Himself once for the sins of mankind, never needing to do so ever again. It's also interesting to me that it is not very much after this. If we go to chapter 12, or verse number 12 and verse 13, we find that the wise men are warned of God and they head another direction. Do not go back to find Herod. And then we find that the angel of God comes to Joseph and tells him to take the child into Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but when we stop and really stop and think about some things, you know, God is so marvelous. Here's a family now. They didn't even get back home. Perhaps they couldn't afford to after having a child. And now God says, I want you to go to Egypt. Any of you folks ever traveled for nothing? It's not going to work most of the time. And it takes money to travel. It takes finances to get there. It takes transportation, of course. It's going to cost you something. You're going to have rooming expenses. You're going to have food expenses. And normally they're even more so. But stop and think about it. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, God had provided for them before the need had even arisen. God is one who makes sure in His omniscience to provide for you and for me in the best way possible. And so here we look and we see God doing some marvelous things. Now I look at this and I think about something. I look at these three men, or three gifts I should say. We're not sure it was three men. We do know it was three gifts. We look and we find that these wise men, they brought some material gifts unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to think of something else. They not only brought the gifts, they brought them themselves. Could they not have sent them? Could they not have, through a courier, through some kind of means, had those gifts sent to the Lord Jesus Christ? Could they not somehow have transferred those things into a better way of transportation, so to speak, and made it all into gold or whatever, and sent it by the hand of another? That is very possible, but we find that they brought it themselves. You know, when somebody does something and they do it themselves, it means something. Amen? It means something. When somebody hand delivers something, when somebody does something particular for you or for me, it is always what? Very much appreciated when they have done that themselves. I look at this and I find these wise men gave not only a gift, but they gave of themselves to accomplish it. They had traveled many hundreds of miles to get there over some very harsh country in order to see this babe, to see this now approximately 2-year-old child, and to offer their worship and their gifts to him. I stop and I think about that, and I think of a number of things. What is the greatest gift you can give? We're at a season right now, we call it the Christmas season, the time that we look back and we celebrate the coming of our Savior. One of the things we often do during this season is give gifts one to another. And I think that's a wonderful thing. We ought to always be willing to give gifts one to another. But something I look at and I ask the question, and that is, what is the greatest gift that you and I could ever give to another person? Let's put it this way. What is the greatest gift that God has ever given to mankind? For God so loved the world, He what? Gave His only begotten Son. You see, God gave Himself. When He was before Thomas and the Lord is saying some things to Him, He says, "Show us the Father and it sufficeth us." And Jesus, He basically said to Thomas, "You're looking at Him." I don't understand the Trinity. I used to think I did. It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That word Trinity means triunity. It means three, yet one. And the longer I live, the more confusing that gets, but the more wonderful it gets, because it is a great, wonderful truth of our God. He is three, but yet He is one. And we find that God gave of Himself. What's the greatest gift ever given? Why, it is God giving of Himself to mankind. But I would say to you in like manner, the greatest gift that a man can ever give to another is himself. John 15, verse 13 says this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." If there's something that I can give you, if there's something you can give me, if there's something that we can give to another individual, it is ourselves. And by the way, a gift is always by grace, or it's not a gift. It can't be because they deserve it. Then it would be a reward. And so you and I have the wonderful privilege to give of ourselves to God and to others. Matter of fact, I believe it's God's predetermined will that we do so. You and I, we get saved, and God wants us to do that. Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your what? Your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You see, God wants us to give of ourselves to Him, as He gave of Himself to us. God wants to use us for His glory. That is, I believe, His desire, that as we give of ourselves to Him, then He will be glorified. There's a great Bible word that refers to our giving of ourselves to God and His glory. And I'll use the word submission. Submission. I differentiate between surrender and submission. I haven't used this illustration in quite some time, but many years ago I had the privilege to break a horse. The horse's name was General, and we were at camp, not where we go now, but another, and we were at camp, and this horse had been born on the property and was now 2 years of age. He had been handled by people. He had been around people. But he never had a person on his back. I've seen the films of cowboys who climb on the back of a horse like that and ride them, and they would buck and buck and buck until one of them got tired and quit. We call that breaking a horse. We didn't know what we were doing. It was called the horse whisperer method, but we took that horse, and little by little we got him used to different things. And we put a blanket on his back and just walked him around. We would then walk over and just kind of lean on his back, and somebody else would just lead him a little bit. And just little by little, and finally we just took a saddle and very gently put it on his back and walked him around a little bit. And after a while we took the cinch and pulled it up, not tight, but just enough so he could feel it on his belly. And we walked him around. And we let him rest, and we'd just kind of fiddle around a little bit, just let him get used to it. And then we'd walk over and lean on the saddle and just talk to him the whole time. And finally he seemed to get used to that. And so then we grabbed the leather and we pulled the cinch up a little tighter. We do the same thing for a while. And finally we pull the cinch really tight so that if you get on, why, it's going to stay. And we do that, and it's over a period of actually several hours, and really a couple of days. And finally, after doing this for quite some time, and leaning on his back, we slowly just climb up on his back, just sat there. He doesn't do anything, and after a while, just lead him around a little bit, and he walks and just fine. In 3 days' time, we had him neck reined, going at a full gallop, and doing whatever we wanted. Why? Because he was willing to submit himself to us. We didn't make him do it. He allowed it to take place. Surrender comes after a battle. We sometimes sing the song, "I Surrender All." And you and I, we often battle with God, don't we? And God has to teach us some lessons through some hard knocks in different situations. And finally, we will surrender to God. But submission's a whole lot better. It's an act of the will. We are giving ourselves into the will of another. When you and I are willing to give ourselves to God, we're doing what the Lord Jesus Christ did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, as he was there in that garden, said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He said, "If it's possible, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me." But he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He is willing to submit himself to the will of his Father. It is allowing God to make us useful, that we might be used for him. We find that there's some problems involved in our lives that keep us from going to this spot. I wondered this morning, do I have somebody this morning? Just you're kind of thirsty. Anybody a little bit thirsty? I got some really nice water. I'm serious. This is water in this container up here. I need a helper. Who's thirsty this morning? Sarah's looking.
I know what it is.
No, you don't. Stephanie, are you thirsty this morning?
I'm good.
I
just told her.
What did you tell her?
What it was.
That's water.
No.
Yes, it is. Honest. It is water. I didn't get it. Where is... Lindsay. Lindsay filled it up, right? What's it got in it, Lindsay? What? She filled that for me. Okay. Would you drink it, Lindsay? I didn't. Come here, Lindsay. I ain't going to mess with those girls. They just... They know everything. There you go. Just get you a glass of water. You fill that jug up. Drink it. Is it water?
Yes.
Is it good? Why did you take that cup? It had nothing in it.
It
has dirt in it?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that other cup?
Something else in it.
Hmm?
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what it is? It looks like water to me.
This is vinegar.
That's vinegar? How can you know that's vinegar? You can smell it from here, can't you?
No.
You don't like vinegar?
No.
Really? How many gargle with vinegar? Huh? It works, doesn't it? It's good. It's a cleaning agent. It won't hurt you, honest. You eat salad dressing?
Yeah.
It has vinegar in it. Yeah. You didn't want to use that. You know what's in that one? What's it look like?
Water.
It looks like water, doesn't it? It won't hurt you if you drink it. I'm not sure about this, but if you drank that, it wouldn't. It is peroxide. Hmm?
I won't drink that.
You won't drink that? You don't want it out of here. What does she pick up? You put it down. Hmm? The one that was empty and clean. Hmm? You can go sit down. Thank you, Lindsay. Will you stop and think about this a moment? Oftentimes, we want to give to God, but we have stuff in our cup. Vinegar. What do you think of when you think of vinegar? Sour? Bitter? Yeah. I think about that. The picture that comes in my mind is a bitterness because we have an unsatisfied pride. Did you know pride never is satisfied? It always wants more glory, always wants more accolades, always wants more for itself. And if we're going to give ourselves to God, that we might be useful to Him, that we might be able to bear that water of life effectively, we need to dump that out, don't we? Matter of fact, we need to allow God to cleanse it. Some of you, even if I dump the vinegar out, you still wouldn't want to pour water in it to drink, would you? You'd want to make sure that thing was really washed clean. Peroxide. I've drank peroxide. Not that much. You can use it to gargle with, too. It's sometimes used for wounds and so forth. But on a normal basis, we're not going to drink it. And I think about that, and I substituted that for alcohol because I couldn't find any at the house. I was looking for the secret stashes, but they didn't appear. I figured if I go visit some of your houses, I might have found some, and I could have got it here and would not have any problem with this season. But alcohol is really a picture of the pleasures of this world. And sometimes even including our friendships with the world. Now, we ought to always be friendly to people, amen? But you and I, we have such so many things in our lives. We want to give it to God, but it's full of other things. I think the dirt is pretty good exemplary of itself, isn't it? Talking about the filthiness that's in our lives so often. You see, if we're going to submit ourselves to God, if we're going to give Him the greatest gift, we need to give God a cup that is empty of all of those things. This word submission, as I think about it, is pictured by the word yield. If you and I are going to be effective for God, we must yield ourselves to Him. If we're going to yield ourselves to Him, it's allowing all the other stuff to be poured out. It's allowing God to cleanse us and to do all that He wants to do in our lives. In the book of Romans chapter number 6, it says in verse number 13, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the flesh or from the dead." God wants us to yield ourselves to Him. That's submitting. That's giving ourselves to His. Please listen. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you first of all need to yield yourselves to Him. Say, "I want to accept your way as the way of salvation." Much of the world today is trying to work their way to heaven. I was teasing Francis the other day. I was at the Y with him, and he's on this stair climber, and he's just going forever. He's on the top rung, and he steps on, and he goes down, and he goes up again, down and up, and down and up, and down and up. Does that for 30 minutes. 2 minutes, I was like... But I discovered something. He's not made it to heaven yet doing that. He's been going up that thing for several months. Haven't made it to the top. And that's really a picture of you and I as we so often want to work our way to heaven. We can't earn it. We have to accept His method of salvation. Need to accept that. And then, Christian, if we're going to give ourselves to God, if we're going to give ourselves to others, we've got to allow Him to dump all that other junk out so we can really be used by Him. And too often we want to carry all these things along with us. And like Lindsay, she picked the one that was clean. That's what God's trying to find. Amen? But there's a secret to that, Larry. The only way you can get cleaned up is to let Him do it. And so we first give this old dirty vessel to Him, say, "Lord, take it and clean it. And now use it." Because really it's all about Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much today that You love us. Oh God, I pray You'll help us to be a people that realize the greatest gift ever given was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest we can ever give to You or even another person is ourselves. And Lord, so often we want to, but it's all tainted, it's all scoured, it's all dirty, it's full of other things. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd help us, first of all, to allow You to cleanse us, to take out all those impurities that we might thus be usable for You. We might carry that wondrous water of life, might drink. I pray You work in hearts this morning. I pray, oh God, that You'd be glorified. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.